We begin every year with the Pasuk Oinday Sayur Aglein V'Sharayach Yerushalayim, that we've arrived at the gate of Yerushalayim. Halavai, halavai, it should be Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, the way it's supposed to be. But everybody here knows that Yerushalayim exists not only as a place in the universe, but as a time of the year. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that this time of Slichus, we're standing by the entrance into Yerushalayim. I am this here, Aglena B'Sharayich Yerushalayim. And we proceed, Mitzvasha, through the week of Slichus, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot Hashanah Rabbah, to arrive at the place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the inner point of all reality, of ourselves. So Zeh HaShar LaShem. This is the gate. This is the gate to Hashem Yisbarach. Slichus. Slichus is the way in. That's how Klal Yisrael enters into the Kedushas HaZman of the Yom Neroin. So how do we enter into this man? What should we be thinking about? What should we be thinking about this week, these days? Schus, some new mindset of how to come into the Yom HaKadoshim. After the First World War, the Tzaddik Rabbi Yisachar Ber from Belz was living in a city called Holshitz. And it was Shabbos Slichus, and there was a certain gvir, there was a wealthy, powerful Jew who came to spend Shabbos Slichus together with the Tzaddik, with the Belzer Rebbe. Now his intention was, as it was always in those days, that when Chassidim went to the Tzaddik, they would stay after Shabbos till sometime on Sunday. And Sunday there was usually a long line where the visitors would go to the Tzaddik to say goodbye and to get a bracha. But this particular gvir, this particular Jew, had some very urgent business to take care of on Sunday in his town. And therefore he knew that he was not going to be able to stay and wait throughout all of Sunday. When it would come, when his turn would arrive, he knew he would have to leave immediately Sunday morning after davening. So as is the way with gvirim, with many gvirim, even though there was a line, and there were very strict rules about the order of the Seder, but a gvir sometimes is able to change the Seder. Especially when you have a Shamus who's Nabach in need. So the gvir first went to the Shamus and he said, "Listen, Yankel, whatever, I have to leave. I have to be the first one, I have to come to the Rebbe, Moshe Shabbos, I can't wait." So right after he already prepared Erev Shabbos, "I can't wait till Sunday morning, if the davening, there's going to be an oilam. I have to be able to go in Moshe Shabbos to the Tzaddik to say goodbye." So Yankel said, "Moshe Shabbos, Shabbos Slichus, not Shaykh," and he already heard the price is going up. No. So Yankel, the Shabbos says, "I can't do that." And the Gvir gives him a nice gift. And even though the Rebbe gave instructions not to let anybody in before Slichus, the Shamus told the Gvir to go in. So as he walked in, the tzaddik of Yisachar Be'er was looking in the slichus. He was preparing for slichus. And he was crying softly and mumbling that soon we're going to begin slichus. Kedalu mecherashim defartnu d'lasecha. So the Rebbe said, Kedalu mecherashim, it says in slichus, that's how we begin. Kedalu mecherashim, like poor, impoverished people. Hashem, we're knocking on your door. And the Rebbe said, somebody who's poor has to know how to knock on a door. Has to knock on a door and has to know how to knock on the door. Because if the poor person starts banging on the door, he's knocking on the door loudly, he's banging on the door. So it could be that the Balabayas, will have him thrown away. Will scream, what are you knocking? What are you knocking on the door, and throw him away? And then the Rebbe started sobbing very loudly and repeating over and over, Kedalim ucheroshim dafachnu d'lasech. Rabbi Shalom, we're knocking on your door. Kedalim ucheroshim, like poor people should knock. That's the Ma'isu of Belzer Rebbe. Certainly he was saying something to that Jew. But what's he saying to us? What's he saying to us? We're going to start Slichus in a few minutes. Zashar Hashem. So what was the Tzaddik telling us? Certainly, it can't be that his kavanah, his intention was that we shouldn't scream, we shouldn't yell. Screaming, yelling, calling out to the Baruch Shalom is the greatest weapon that the Jewish people have. It can't be that he was saying that we shouldn't scream. Ella, the Tzaddik was telling us that there's such a thing as a person who knocks, who wants to get in. There's a poor person who knocks with derech eretz. He has derech eretz in the way that he knocks. And there's another person who knocks without derech eretz. What does that mean? All of us have had the schus of dealing with different types of mishulochim, of poor people. When I say the schus, not that we should have any poor people, God forbid. But if a poor person comes your way, the Baruch Shalom is sending to you, it's a schus. So you know that there are different types of anim. There are different ways, there are different tactics. Different ways that the anim, that poor people come. The way, different approaches, different methods. So you know that when you have a poor person, Hashem Yirachem, that when you have a poor person who comes to the balabas, who comes to the house of the one who's the gvir, who has what to give, when this poor person comes, filled with tainus, telling the balabas that you're chayiv to give me, you're obligated to give me, because of this and because of that, and I'm a descendant of this person or that person, I'm a bal miyichas, and if you don't give me, this is what's going to happen to you, and so on and so forth. And he's angry, and he tells you, and this happens all the time. Someone says, you know, I'm at a simcha something on a Sunday, and one of those wonderful mishalachim, they should live and be well, will come later in the day and say, you know that I was waiting for you this morning? So I'm always thinking, well, I didn't know your schedule, I never met you before. I had to go somewhere. And he's a tiny, he's already angry. I see when I'm pulling up that he looks angry. He's a tiny, that he's already, you know, he came earlier, he had to come back. This poor person is knocking on the door, but he's knocking, even though he might physically be giving a regular knock or ringing on the bell, but It's without Derech Eretz. It's without Derech Eretz. He's banging, he's screaming, he's carrying on. And it's the nature of a balabais, as much as a person tries, it's the nature of a balabas to be upset. And not to want to deal with such an ani, with such a poor person, with such a mashulach. It's the nature of the balabas to turn away from such a person. But then there's another type of a poor person. Listen, we're talking about ourselves now. There's another type of a mashulach. We're all mashulachim. We're all mashulachim. And we have more notes than the fellows that come on Sunday. There's a different type of a mashulach, a different type of an ani. And this poor person knows that the balabas doesn't owe him a penny. The balabas doesn't owe him anything at all. And he knows that what he's asking for is a matnas chinam mamush. He feels completely unworthy. He's ashamed. He's embarrassed. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked out with work, or he's not able to work, whatever it might be. And he's asking for matnas chinam. This ani, even though he's knocking equally hard upon the door or ringing the bell, but the way that he stands and the way that he looks and the way that he speaks is with an edelkeit. It's with a gentleness, it's with a sweetness, it's with humility. So let's begin first of all by saying Rabbeinu Shlomo, the master of the world, so we're standing now at your door. And Kedalum Kiroshim, the Faknud Lasech. The first thing that we want to say to prepare for Slichas is Rabbeinu Shlomo, you're not chayiv anything to us. You don't owe us anything. Ma'onu, mecha yeinu, mecha azdeinu, matzir kaseinu. Each person, everybody here in this Beis Medrash knows his or her own faults, and chaitim and poishim. I know my own, I know my faults, I'm sure that each and every one of you knows. Ashamnu mikolam, baishnu mikoldor. So we want first to say, as we stand by the shaar, by the gate, we first want to say that Rabbeinu Shalom Lucha Hashem Hatzdokah, that Hashem, even though it was a very, very hard year, and that many things happened that we don't understand, and many very beautiful and special Jews were taken, old people, little babies. The first thing we're saying is that you don't owe us anything. L'cha Hashem Atztaka, that Hashem is Baruch. We don't understand how, but you're right, and you're righteous. And V'lonu Boishes Hapon, and we're ashamed. Let me explain this a little bit. In the Sfarim HaKadoshim and in the Sefer Musar, all the Sfarim, there are Meir, Kedushas Levi, Sfas Emes, the Madrega Sa'odim, the Alta from Slobodka, from Kelum, all the Tzaddikim have explained that the Shoyrish, the root of man's histabchus, of man's becoming entangled in midas ra'os, in negative midas, in tzoris, in aveiris, all the tzaddikim, all the bali musar have taught us that the shoyrish of that histabchus, the root of the entanglement, the beginning of the problem is gaiva. Gaiva, it's hard to translate gaiva because the word conceit was created by conceited people. So it's hard to explain what it means. Everybody knows gaiva. Gaiva is when you say I and it means too much to you. So the Svarim HaKadosh tell us that gaiva, that conceit and inflated ego, whatever that is, but that gaiva is the beginning of the histabchus of man's entanglement in bad midas and averus. And the reason is obvious. The reason is, why would a person hate, God forbid, another Jew? Why would a person want to take revenge against someone? Why is a person constantly angry? Why is a person feeling jealousy? The teretz is because this person is completely wrapped up in himself. The shayrish of all negative midas is the I. And the shayrish of all midas taivas, let's listen, we talk about something very simple and clear. The shayrish of all positive midas, the root of all that's good in ourselves, is that hargosha, that awareness, that feeling that it's not me. It's not me. The world doesn't exist for me. Everything was created lamancha. Lamancha lekim chayim was created for the sake of the Rebbeinu Shlom, to reveal the Rebbeinu Shlom's covet in this world. Humility means ani is the ani, is the one who feels that he's standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's all that counts. So mimela, the result of that awareness of God as the center of the universe, not me. That awareness means that, for instance, kina, jealousy, envy, is ridiculous. It's not toifes, it doesn't begin. It's not toifes a mokum by me. It can't in any way infiltrate into my being. And the reason is very simple. What's the nafka meaning what this person thinks about me? What difference does it make if this person thinks that I'm not the smartest, the best looking, if I'm not the best friend, the best parent? What difference does it make what this person thinks about me or says about me? The ikur is that my life should be lived lamancha, and that I should do the right thing. What reason is there for me to be angry at this person, to hate this person? All of these hargoshes of what he did to me, what she did to me, having tainus, you chayev me this, you owe me that, having a cheshbon for the last 30, 40 years, you said this and I remember that. All of these cheshbonos mean absolutely nothing to the one who is truly humble. But as far as the Baal Gaiv is concerned, as far as the conceited one is concerned, Chazal have said a frightening thing, a pachad. As far as this person, the conceited person, is concerned, Chazal have said that the Baruch Shalom says about this individual, Ein ani v'hu yechaylem lodur b'kfifa achas, that the master of the universe himself says, I cannot live in one place, in one room, in one world with the Baal Gaiva. Ein ani v'hu yechaylem lodur b'kfifa achas. The Rebbeinu Shlomo himself has said that I cannot live in one world with this Jew who occupies the entire world. Or in the way of the old shows, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. We can't be in the same world together. He doesn't leave any room for me to come in. As the Kotzke said, Kiyadu, as is known, and we've spoken about many times, when he was a child, when he was asked, Mendele, they say he's so smart, so where does the Rebbeinu Shlom live? Where is the Rebbeinu Shlom? And the Kotzke said as a child, wherever man lets him in. And the Baal Gaiva does not allow the Rebbeinu Shlom entrance into his gate. I have my own shah. So Mimela, this Jew does not live with a feeling of being in God's presence. That's not what's important to him, Lifnei Hashem. What does God think? What does the Baruch Shalom want of me? This Jew lives with a thought of what I want and what's good for me. And therefore he's not standing in Hashem's door. He's standing by himself. And now we can understand something that's extremely, extremely upsetting to many of us, and we know we feel this all the time. And let's be honest, the whole year you could hide. The game is already over. You know that you have a Jew that's mekayim mitzvahs. He's an observant Jew. He keeps the mitzvahs. And he learns Torah, and she says Tehillim, and she learns Torah also. Ubecholzais, and despite the fact that this person is observant, an observant Jew, and is probably spending fortunes of money and being an observant Jew. My wife and I made a cheshbon the other day. You know, that if we wouldn't be religious people, we wouldn't be so poor. And we made a cheshbon. My wife knows the exact numbers. I don't know, but it just sounded pretty bad. Yeah, but the yeshivas, and then the special foods, and then we need different, you know, we had different inyanim, different needs. For me, you didn't need different things. It adds up. Can I nahara to have a family? So you have a person who davens, learns, keeps mitzvahs, and yet is not able to feel even the slightest sweetness in any of that. Not the slightest excitement, not the smallest amount of sweetness in all of his learning and davening. When it comes to yontiv, the thought is, how do I get out fast? When it comes to mitzvahs, there's no cheshek, there's no longing. When it comes to davening, just to finish. And if it's too much, then I have to find someone that I could talk to, chalila. You would say that this is a pella. This itself is a wondrous thing. You have a person who keeps mitzvahs, who learns Torah, who goes to shul, who eats kosher, who gives a velt, a fortune of money to help, to give tzedakah. You would think that with all of that, the person would experience some inspiration. That there'd be a feeling, there'd be a feeling of mesikas, of sweetness in his avodas Hashem. You would think. And not only that, but it's not just a person who learns Gemara, Chumash, he learns Musas Svarim, he learns Chassidus Svarim, he's trying to work on himself, he wants to be a better Jew, he wants to be a better person. And all of that, and Afal Pinchein, it's just a huge burden. His Yiddishkeit is a burden. He's schlepping along year after year after year, Nacha Mincha, Nacha Ma'ariv. And if somebody would tell him that you're potter for the next 2 weeks from davening, would be gevaldige yontif. So why is that? It's a complicated question. But let's make it as simple as possible. He has everything, this guy. He's got a wonderful bais medrash, his wonderful wife and children, Baruch Hashem. He has a beautiful pair of tzitzis, all the knots are tied, he has great tefillin. Everything's great. There's only one thing that's missing from his life. There's only one thing that's missing, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is missing from his life. Because the Rebbeinu Shlom said that if a person is living in a way of gaiva, if a person is banging on the door, if he's slamming on the door, knocking on the door, and he feels that the Baruch Shem is chayiv this to me, and my wife is chayiv this, and my children don't do that, and this friend didn't do this, and the whole world is chayiv to you. So the Baruch Shalom said, Ein ani v'hu, I can't live with such a Jew. So here this person at Davnet and at Lent, and he reads Musa Sfarim, and he learns Chassidus Sfarim, and he gives Tzedakah, everything. And he doesn't feel connected. He doesn't feel a shaychus to the Creator. The Teretz is that his neshama, his soul knows that because of his own obsession with himself, he's taken not standing chalil in the mechitzas Hashem. He's not in the same room with the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's not in the same tchum, he's not in the same place with the Kadosh Baruch. And because he's not living in a matzav of lifnei Hashem, because he doesn't have Hashem's companionship, he's not living with Hashem, he lives before only himself, in his own gate. He's not standing at the Baruch Shalom's gate. So as a result of that, he feels lonely. And not only does he feel lonely, very often, this type of a person, slowly but surely, his friends also disappear. Because it's not just Hashem who can't stand the Baal Gaiva. And how does this person think? What's his reaction? Oy, how this person insulted me. This person insulted me. 99% of the time, you don't even know what he was insulted by. When you talk it over, when Chavayim talk about something, you're shocked to discover, I tell you, I never meant that Bechlal. I don't know what you're talking about Bechlal. And it's true, we should all be more sensitive. But people walking around with such unbelievable cheshbonos. You said too much, you didn't say enough. Husbands and wives, who can even hold cup? You have to be a Vilna Gaon to hold cup. Cheshbonos. Who owes this and who said that? And this person who's not standing in Hashem's Baruch's presence because he's so filled with himself, this person feels, my parents, they're guiltier than anyone. Because all my friends had better parents than me. And if I had good parents, I wouldn't be the miserable person that I am. If I had good parents, if my parents are to blame. Bekitzer, all the simcha that a person can experience is what we say, Hashanah Rabbah, what we say, Sukkot, Ani v'hu hayshiyana. Ani v'hu means the greatest joy that a Jew can experience is Ani v'hu. That me and the Baruch Shalom are together. I have a shaychus, I have a kesher, I feel his presence. This person who's banging on the door and feels that he has tainus, that the Baruch Shem Yechai is this, Yechai is that, you didn't do this for me, you didn't do that for me. So the Belzer Rebbe said, when he was crying, Kedalim, Ucherashim, Dafakim, Glasacha, he said that such a person, the Balabas throws away. The Balabas doesn't open the door for such a Jew, for such an army. And here the situation is worse, Rabbi Isai. Because this person who doesn't feel any joy in his avodas Hashem, who doesn't feel any connection to Hashem, every single time that he's learning, every word of Torah that he pours into himself, every time he says Na'ashrei, Yishtabach, every time he says a Kriya Shmoneh Esrei, every word of Torah that he's saying is demanding closeness to Hashem. In other words, he's doing things, and those things in Yiddishkeit are saying, you're supposed to feel closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu because of me, because of Na'ashrei, because of Yishtabach. And you're not. And he goes his entire life with tainus. The shul is not good. The rav is not good. The rav is nice, but the gaboyim I can't stand. Or you have someone that says that this aliyah I didn't get, that aliyah I didn't get. Don't they know that it's the fourth cousin of my mother-in-law's yahrzeit, and they didn't give me mafti? You know, these tainus. The whole world has sinned against you. And the kinna, the taivis, because come to me, everything is coming to me, I deserve everything. So basically we have to be honest. The balabas, the big balabas, the one before whom we all have to give an accounting, because you could run away from other balabatim. But the big balabas is not soivel such people. Ein ani v'hu. So comes the slichus. And what I'm saying now, every single word, I know it sounds a little bit, it's harsh, but it's only for the purpose of bringing us to a place of tefillah, of emes deka tefillah, of real tefillah, to come into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Slichus is the end of the year. We're holding by the end of the year, the last few minutes of the year, the last few days, few minutes. You know that Chazal taught that when a person's neshama is leaving, that when a person is about to die, so Chazal say that b'shas yitzias haneshama hakol hoylech misoifa oylem v'ad soifa. When a person's neshama is leaving, there's a silent scream from one end of the universe to the other. Now we have to understand, of course, it doesn't mean anything that anybody could hear. Now, but most people who are leaving the world are leaving quietly. But there is that sound of the neshama screaming about what could have been in this person's life, what I wanted to do, what I didn't do, what I did and I shouldn't have done. It's a gewaldige schrei that the neshama gives such a scream. So you know when you come to the end of the year, it says Nesfarim Kedoshim, it's also an end of Yitzias Neshama. Just like a person dies, his neshama leaves, so too every year is like a person. Every year has eyes and ears and so on. And every year, at the end of the year, the neshama of that year leaves. And therefore there's a call that goes out from each and every one of us at the end of the year. As we honestly evaluate to where we fall and what's happened to us, therefore, the first thing we say as we come into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that Rabbeinu Shalom Kedalim Uchirashim Dafakim Vlasecha, that Rabbeinu Shalom was standing by your gate, not only are we standing here like poor people, we're even afraid to knock. You know, you have such an ani, there's such a thing as a poor person, as a mashulach, who's afraid to knock at all. You know, when you're very, very nervous, you're afraid, he just walks back and forth. Now I remember the first time that I was supposed to call my wife, and I'm talking about before we were married, to go out, to ask for the opportunity. I guess that's what you call it. So, I don't know if I ever told this to my wife, but I dialed like 1,000 times. Mamish 1,000 times. I'm not exactly, you know, hundreds of, I was dialing a few numbers and back, checking the number again, dialing again, then it almost rang and I hung up. You know, when you feel completely unworthy or nervous and afraid, you can't dial, you can't knock at all. So first of all, Rebbeinu Shlomo is saying to you, in a very simple way, each and every one of us, that Rebbeinu Shlomo, you don't owe us anything. And therefore asking you, that Rebbeinu Shlomo, we're coming and we're knocking on your door in a humble way, in a simple way. That's how you come into Slichus, by letting go of the tainus, letting go of the feeling of me, of the ani, with an aleph, and connecting to the feeling of the oni with an ayin. There was a certain Baal Aveira, there was a Jew that was doing Aveiras, but he was doing them on a regular basis. And this Jew came to see the Rebbe Naftali Rotschitzer about something. He needed some money, but he also came to seek a tikkun for his neshama. He came to the Rebbe Naftali Rotschitzer. You know, the problem is that in those days of the tzaddikim, you didn't have to tell them anything. They would look at you and they knew the whole story. So this Jew came into the door and the Rebbe Naftali looked up from the sefer. And this person, this Baal Aveiras, was standing by the threshold, and the tzaddik and Naftali looked at him in that way that a tzaddik is able to see. And it says in the sefer that Naftali ruptures his sefer, I'm sure in Yiddish, but he said, what did Hashem do to you that was so terrible that you've mistreated him this way? When he heard Rav Naftali Rotschitzer say that, this Jew fainted on the spot. And afterwards, the tzaddik was able to help him to do tshuva. So if we stop and think, as we stand by the Shire of Hashem, if we stop and think, honestly, what did the Rebbeinu Shlomo do to us? It's true that they're suffering in Klal Yisrael, and there are people here who, in one way or the other, have lost. But I could say myself, and I'm sure there are many of you here that could also say this. What did the Rebbeinu Shlomo do for us? There are many parents who are sitting shiva this year for their children, and I know that, thank God, Bli Ayin Hara, and they should be healthy and well. That my children are okay, thank God, and they should continue in all of ours, and all Jewish children should be well. What else did Hashem do to me this year? He allows me to live in a house. It's got some carpeting in it. I wanted central air conditioning. I wasn't Zoyche. But the units have been working, Baruch Hashem. And even when they don't work, the weather got better. To be able to have enough to eat. Not only enough to eat, but we're always thinking about what we shouldn't be eating. Our Zaydis and Bobbies didn't buy books about dieting. They just didn't have what to eat. So with Naftali Rotschitzer, I thought about this a lot before I came to tell this to you. I was thinking about if I would be that person that would be coming into Reb Naftali Rotschitzer, and he would look at me in that way that I'm even afraid to think of. And he would say to me, he would say, Neil Weinberger, what did the Rebbeinu Shlomo do to you that you did this to him this past year? So I would have to say that the Rebbeinu Shlomo, you've given me personally the biggest brachas in the world, the most wonderful wife in the world, most wonderful children, most wonderful kehila and chaveirim. My parents, thank God, okay, my sister, family. And more than anything, you gave me the privilege of being part of Amcha v'Nachalascha. You gave me the privilege of being part of your people, to be a member of your people, to be a member of Knesset Yisrael. That with everything, with all the patches and with all the bombs and grenades and with all the tsaros, there's nothing better in the world than to be a Jew. There's nothing sweeter in the world to know that every single moment of your life is so kedai. That you get up in the morning, you are shnegel vaser. You say maida'ani. You tell the children that they have a tachlis in life, that they were created for a reason. So Naftali Rochester would say, so Weinberger, what did the Baruch Shalom do to you that you did this to him? And I wouldn't be able to answer. I would say, what did he do to me? He gave me everything that I could possibly ask for. And I shouldn't have done those things. I'm going to try not to do them again. That's what it means. Kedalu mecheroshim dafaknu d'lasecha. That say to the Baruch Shalom, Pasayach tiftach es yodcha l'achicha ha'evyoin. Pasayach tiftach, since we're taught from the time that we're children, that the Baruch Shalom is mekayim the mitzvahs, that Hashem is Baruch observes the Torah that He told us to observe, so we would ask for matnas chinam. We would ask for this gift not because we deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. But we would ask for matnas chinam, that Hashem Yisbarach should be mekayim the mitzvah that He asked of us, which is pasayach tiftach es yodcha l'achicha ha'evyain, to open up your hand to give to your brother who is mamish poor. And it's so hard for people like us to feel that sense of poverty. Again, our Zaydis and Babis didn't have to use their imagination to see themselves as poor. It's hard for us in our generation to see ourselves as impoverished. So Hashem should open His hand to give tzedakah mamish, t'achicha ha'evyain, to your brother who's poor. L'man achar v'yai, Chazal say that Hashem's friend, Hashem's brother, that each Jew is Hashem's brother, Hashem's friend. There's an unbelievable word from the Rebbe Moshe Leib Sassafer. We finished in a minute. I'm sorry, I know you're tired. In the davening yontiv, we're going to say, Ki zoicher kol ha-nishkochais ata. Hashem, you remember all nishkochot. Nishkochais, what does that mean? Hashem, you remember everything that's forgotten. So listen to this word from the Rebbe Moshe Leib Sassafer, an unbelievable word. What does it mean that Hashem remembers? Achidish, Hashem remembers kol hanishkachos, everything that's forgotten. So Rabbi Moshe Leib said that Hashem is Baruch, remembers only what's forgotten. Now that sounds like heresy. But he explains this is what it means. He says you have a Jew that does a mitzvah, that does a million mitzvahs. There are people here that I tell you, I'm in constant awe of so many of the people here over the years and this year, schlepping and doing, mamish killing yourselves for other Jews, and no one even sees, no one knows. But Moshe Leib Sassafer said, so you have a Jew that does mitzvahs, and he forgets about them, he doesn't think about it. In other words, he did a mitzvah and he doesn't think, wow, I'm so great. He forgets that he did the mitzvah. And if you'd say, well, you know, you did such a mitzvah, you'd say, nah, what do you mean? I have to do it. It's not a mitzvah. I mean, whatever it is, I have to do it. He forgets about it. So Moshe Leib Sassafer says, aye, Davka Hashem Yisbarach remembers kol hanishkachos. He remembers those mitzvahs that we forgot about. He remembers that Jew that forgets his mitzvahs. On the other hand, sometimes you have a person that does a favor, does a taiva for somebody, and he's waiting to be honored at the next dinner for that favor, for that taiva. And he's waiting to see his name up in lights. Did a taiv, did a mitzvah. And you're waiting and demanding, hakaras hatayv. You want to be remembered. So Moshe Leib says, a mitzvah that you remember, something good that you, all you can do is think about how you did it, the Baruch Shalom forgets that. Because you remember, he forgets it. He only remembers what's forgotten. Hashem doesn't remember what's remembered. And therefore, if you have a Jew, Moshe Leib Sasseva said, if you have a Jew that did Aveiros this past year, but he doesn't remember the Aveira, Hashem remembers. But if you have a Jew who's done Aveiros, and he's brokenhearted and he feels impoverished because he can't forget about the mistakes that he's made this past year, then Hashem forgets those Aveiros. Because Hashem is Zeicha Kol HaNishkachas, only the Nishkachas. And what's the chasima? The chasima of slichas, the conclusion of slichas is a tefillah, a bakasha from Hashem, shmor she'eris Yisrael. That Hashem, we're asking you to protect, to watch, to guard the she'eris Yisrael, the remnants of your people. That's who we are. We are a tiny, tiny fraction of all the Jews who have ever lived. We're the She'eris Yisrael. And the end of Slichas, and in Reb Tzvi Meir says in one of his Slichas, I saw that, like at the end of the Shtar, at the end of the formal document, that which is Mekayim, the Shtar, so at the end we say, Yisratziv Yispayis Lador Ani. Hashem, forgive and be appeased. And let's make up with a door on you, with an impoverished generation. Because even though it's true that there's never been a generation that's been as poor in Torah, as poor in davening, as poor in mitzvah samas and toivim as this generation, but we're still saying Shema Yisrael. And Shema Yisrael means that we are saying Shema Yisrael, and we're the children, grandchildren, many of us here are the children and grandchildren of Jews that were saying Shema Yisrael on the way into the concentration camps, on the way into the gas chamber, on the way into an oven. There are still Jews in the world who are children, grandchildren, children of such people, who are saying from the She'eris Yisrael, we're the She'eris Yisrael of those Jews, and despite the fact that all these things have befallen us, and we're so poor, we're still saying Shema Yisrael, like Azadis and Bobbies did the same Shema Yisrael. Val yoivad goy echad ha'omrim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Therefore our tefillah at the end of Slichas is, the Rebbeinu Shlom, we've seen, anybody who didn't believe it now knows, that the world has the same hatred for Klal Yisrael as it had for the generation of our parents and grandparents. And not just the Arabs. Not just the Reitzchim, but the ones who don't say anything about the Reitzchim, or the ones who are silent, or the ones who are at conferences in South Africa, and the ones in England and in France, who, if they were able to, if it wouldn't be unsophisticated and uncultured, they would do anything they would be able to join arms with the Reitzchim. So therefore, Baruch Shalom, we're asking, Shmur She'eris Yisrael, Val Yoivad Yisrael, Val Yoivad Goy Kodesh, Val Yoivad Goy Echad, Ha'im Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. L'cho Hashem Atzdoke, V'lonu Boishas Haponim, the Baruch Shalom should help each and every one of us. That Navoyu Sha'arav, we should be able to enter into his gates, and the schus of our entering into the gate, coming into Slichas, that the Baruch Shalom will give us a year where each and every one of us with our families in good health will be zeichet to enter into the gates of Yushalayim Mamish, and to be able to see the Mikdash Bonu Al Mekaymai, and to see the face of David Malkin Mashiach is smiling at us, the Sheiris Yisrael that was able to say Shema Yisrael, even though we're Aniyim and Avyayim. I want to thank, I hope Rabbi Yaakov is Rabbi Yaakov Hagler here? Where's Rabbi Yaakov? I want to thank Rabbi Yaakov, ready for all the years, Rabbi Yaakov is leading us by Slichas and lifting us up, because you know the hardest thing is to begin. Call us Chalas Kashas. And there's nobody in the world that I know can make the beginning as sweet, as beautiful, and as inspiring as our wonderful friend Rabbi Yaakov. So let's begin.